you know, the wilderness therapy, I was trying to get a job with wilderness therapy for 3 years.
Before you actually got the job, you were trying to do that.
Yeah, two years, 2 to 3 years. So, and then in that, like, it was confusing, right? Because I could like feel that passion and burn of like, gosh, this is something I really want to do. But like, it wasn't happening. And I'm like, what the heck, God? Like, what is this? Yeah. I thought this was it. And
you started asking for signs.
Yeah. And now, you know, looking where I am now, like, I wouldn't have been prepared. There's so much I learned, and that's what's hard, because when you're in those seasons of like just waiting and confusion, probably like, we're not ready for what we're asking for. Maybe, you know?
Rock Solid Families wants to thank Maxwell Construction for sponsoring the Rock Solid Families podcast. For over 30 years, Maxwell Construction has been a leader in turning dreams into realities, building schools, banks, restaurants, and many other commercial and public facilities. Maxwell Construction has made it their priority to not just build buildings, but to build into their community. So if you have any construction needs, call them at 812-537-2200. Welcome to Rock Solid Families Podcast. This is Merle Hutchinson, being joined by the whole crew today, Linda and Meredith. How are you ladies doing?
Doing well.
Yeah.
You look a little impatient to me. You're like toe tapping.
Oh, I get it. I get it. It goes with our topic today.
Yes. What is our topic today?
Meredith, you wrote the title.
I did.
You forget something about waiting or something like that?
Be patient. The title is, But I Want It Now, Made in the Waiting.
That sounds like every teenager that wants something from us.
Teenager. I was kind of looking in the mirror at myself. I want it now.
Yeah.
So we are going to talk today. We were actually in kind of some show prep and talking about just, it doesn't matter what season of life you're in, whether you're a kid, whether you're a young adult, whether you're retired, there's always something else you're looking for and you wish you would get it faster. And then it starts to lead you to question things. Why isn't it happening? What did I do wrong? What do I need to do differently? So a lot of that stuff. But today, we're going to bring it in to some different perspectives with Meredith being here. And so we're just going to unpack this, because I guarantee you, if you are watching or listening, you're going to relate to this topic.
Absolutely. So, but before we do that, we want to thank our sponsors. We want to thank Casey's Outdoor Solutions and Maxwell Construction for their support of the Rock Solid Families podcast, as well as the organization, the ministry, the mission of Rock Solid Families. And so if we are familiar to you, great. If we're not, if this is all new to you, we would love for you to connect with us on our website at rocksolidfamilies.org or social media platforms at Rock Solid Families. So, we are a faith-based coaching organization in the greater Cincinnati area that works with individuals and couples and families to really help them to reach their goals and to get unstuck and to deal with this waiting season that a lot of people find themselves in.
So, Meredith, a question for you. You grew up with a microwave. I never grew up with a microwave.
Oh, my gosh. You are showing your age.
I was going to say, really? Are you being serious?
I'm being very serious. You grew up with a microwave. You grew up with pretty much being able to get things quickly, much more quickly than what we could. Like, we used to have this kind of, it's a kind of internet. It was called dial-up.
Okay, so I did grow up with that.
Did
so,
you?
Yes.
All right, all right.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And so now, like, you know, if we have to wait like a half a second, we just scream at all these things. So how have you seen your generation just have this hurry up and wait or instant gratification idea impact how you guys go about day-to-day living?
Right. I mean, you think about, like, we can just have everything at the tip of our fingers, just, like, because of our phones, right? Like, being able to search and know anything because of Google. The fast food, you know, growing up as a kid in between like school and sports getting the fast food in. Yeah, I mean, just not really having to wait. So then when you do have to wait, you have zero patience. And in reality, it's probably not even like waiting very long, right? Yeah. Like wait, having to wait in line.
Right.
It's like, come on, let's go.
So Meredith, I'm trying to remember, you're a millennial, right?
I am.
Okay. So because then we have Gen Z who are even now, all they grew up with a smartphone. So they don't even know what it looks like to feel like having not a smartphone in your pocket. You at least remember that,
right?
Years of that. But, you know, let's face it, we are in a different culture. I remember when commercials were a thing and you actually, that was when you went to the bathroom or got yourself a drink.
Yeah.
And now it's like, we don't even wait for commercials. I mean, we don't even, I've seen our kiddos watch two or three programs at a time. Right. Like when one gets boring or it's not moving fast enough for them, they're watching two things at the same time because that's the fast paced culture that we live in.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the dopamine hits that constantly are feeding our brain that doesn't fare well when it comes to being patient. Right.
Right. Well, and I also think, especially like the younger generation, like we want things now and the less effort we have to put into it, the better. So like, I feel like kids are just like struggling with even the work that sometimes we have to put into things.
Do you hear her?
Yeah.
Like this new generation, like kids these days.
I'm older.
Like Merle and I sound like some
kids. Well, you know, Meredith, you kind of make me think about something that, of course, I don't think any of us want to hear. And that is when you are growing up as a kid, you are always being refined, right? It's a kind of a sanctification process, not just in a spiritual way, but just finding out who you are, finding. And so you have to be pressed and then on that edge of broken. And then you come through the other side and you go, okay, well, I found out I didn't like this or I'm not good at this, but I found out I am good at this and I like this. And it helps direct your path so that by the time you are in your 20s, you go, I've kind of figured out what I'm good at and what I'm not. And I think because we don't get pressed like we used to, because we get what we want now and we don't really have to put effort in. And again, I'm generalizing, okay? But there's a lot of things that just come to you so easily that you don't find out really who you are. Like, gosh, I mean, I've worked with guys who are in their 30s and they still don't even know their gifts. They don't even know what they're about, because they'll even say, you know, I didn't, my parents never really made me work. I stayed in their basement until I was 28, you know. It's just those kinds of things. And so being pressed and having to wait and having to work through things, I think is part of how we find out who we are.
Yeah.
Well, it also makes me think how, like, there's less opportunity to fail, I feel like, with things just like given to us. And I think that's kind of a deeper rooted thing for younger generation too. Right. Like, because we learn by failing, right? And there's that fear of failing. So it's like, well, why try?
Right.
If I can't have it now.
So the minute it gets hard or we think it's going to not go well, we quit and trade in for something else that will give us what we want, right?
Right.
In that minute.
So you're talking, you know, I don't know that everybody around the world would agree with us, because we live in a very Western culture, European and Western culture, where it has been very made modern, and technology and conveniences have surrounded kind of our upbringing. And so it's a kind of a Western worldview, but it's not really a standard view. As you said, like some things we think we're waiting forever and really in the whole scheme of things, we're not. And so we're shifting today, or at least having some conversation of moving our Western worldview to what kind of view? Like, what are you trying to seek to try to find more peace in your world?
Yeah, the biblical view.
What is that? What's that say?
Which we are to wait. And, you know, I could have taken all the time to look through the Bible and see how many times it references wait. I did a Google search instead, which I couldn't find a consistent answer. But I'd say over 100 times at least it references.
Be patient or something to that effect.
Yeah. Psalm 27:14, wait for the Lord, be strong and take heart and wait for the Lord. And it does depend on what translation you use, but that waiting on the Lord, you know, good things do take time. And so good things come to those who wait. And so we got to train our mind and our body and our emotions for that self-regulation, that self-discipline, and allowing hard things to really grow us, right? To strengthen us. And you and I shared that recently at a seminar we do called Who's the Boss, where you said, like, the number one attribute for someone to be a successful adult is what?
Is self-discipline and self-control. You know, the idea that you can sit through the waiting period, that you can not have to rush it, you know. And I won't say that I'm good at these things, you know, because I do think it's that instant gratification thing that you seek. You want to get it right now. We talk about, I've said before on shows, my dad used to shake his head at me for doing things like marathon training, triathlon training, because he'd be like, why? Like, just go work, you know? And now, because life is generally, for our Western civilization, is pretty easy, especially in the physical way, okay? And so now we actually have to plan challenges into our life in order to say, man, I want to see if I can do this. I want to see if, you know, at one time you didn't have to plan them. Life was just going to keep on challenging you. And now we plan them. We have guys that are joining UFC fights, that we have guys who are doing marathons, and ladies, you know. You have all these people who are taking on the next challenge. And it speaks to the nature that people really have an honest desire to find out really who they are deep inside, what they can bear through and go through the waiting process.
Our second oldest son decided he was going to train for an ultra marathon, which, do you know how many miles is an ultra?
I don't.
How many? Anything over a marathon. So.
Yeah. And so, like, why would you do that for fun? But to your point, hon, it's like, I want to show and prove that I can work that program, that I can push.
And it's not to prove to others.
No.
Really. I have to find out whether I can do this. Like, what am I made of? And life used to naturally do that for us, but it doesn't now. And so we're constantly, I need a challenge. And I'm not saying we shouldn't either, because in one way we've been blessed by comforts and conveniences, and we should be thankful for that. But at the same time, we have to realize that some of us are not growing to near our potential because we're not taking on the challenges.
Yeah. So what do we do in the season of waiting, Meredith? Like, what do we do?
Well, I mean... the past couple of years has changed my view on this. You know, thinking of, you know, just personal things to share, I think back to even just like college and trying to figure out what I wanted to do with my life, right? And God's always been in my life, but I have to be honest, at those times, I wasn't really turning to Him for those answers. It was more like, okay, I know I got to go to college. I know this is an interest or passion of mine. And more so praying, like, God, work this out for me, right? And I, you know, the wilderness therapy, I was trying to get a job with wilderness therapy for 3 years.
Before you actually got the job, you were trying to do that.
Yeah, two years, 2 to 3 years. So, and then in that, like, it was confusing, right? Because I could like feel that passion and burn of like, gosh, this is something I really want to do. But like, it wasn't happening. And I'm like, what the heck, God? Like, what is this? Like, I thought this was it. And
you started asking for signs.
Yeah. And now, you know, looking where I am now, like, I wouldn't have been prepared. There's so much I learned. And that's what's hard, because when you're in those seasons of like just waiting and confusion, probably, like, we're not ready for what we're asking for, maybe, yeah. you know?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Or sometimes it's not yet because he's working in someone else's life and yeah. someone else's situation, you know? And for me, I remember when we wanted to sell a house and build another house closer to school and, you know, with land. And it took 2 years to sell our house. And so in that season of waiting, I remember just like, why, God? You know, we're trying mm-hmm. to be, you know, biblically good stewards. But here was the interesting thing. In that 2 years of waiting, we took financial peace, mm-hmm. which really flipped our whole perspective of how we spend money, how we invest mm-hmm. money, what we were going to do with the sale of our other house. And so God knew we had to have some training, mm-hmm. some preparation to be handed this money from the sale of our other house. And I think that that time prepared us for building a different house. What do you think, hon?
I mean, well, I mean, it's a lot easier to look back with the hindsight 2020 mm-hmm. to say, oh man, I'm kind of glad now mm-hmm. that it took this because now I see what I had to get or prepare for. Mm-hmm. But that doesn't make it any easier in the real time because you don't really know how far out that is. So it's, you know, I think when I think about myself, I've used the phrase with Linda a lot, I feel like I'm baking in the oven. I feel like I'm in the oven. How long do I need to be in there? Because I know I'm not ready. I'm not cooked. I'm not prepared. I'm not mature. I'm not whatever I need. But it's that unknown time. And so I think what I've tried to practice doing is just saying, it is yours, Lord. Mm-hmm. It is yours. I don't know what the time is. I don't know what. Here's something that came to my mind because the idea of sometimes when you're not getting what you want, you think, is there a God? Does God forsake me? Mm. Is God, you know, maybe I've just believed all this stuff and it was just junk, you know? Mm-hmm. And, you know, we're told God's not going to forsake us, but things are going to work on His time. And so just that practice of giving it up is tough, but it's one to practice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Do you remember, hon, we've shared the story before about your onset of anxiety and how it was crippling for us and how it was a period and a season of really working through the right combination. And that was a long season of waiting. But now we kind of can see how God has used that through your work all the time. With men and with couples and saying, you know, we've been there and it was a tough, tough season. I mean, would you agree?
Yeah, well, because sometimes when you're going through that sort of thing, you know, we've talked about this before too, you feel like you're getting beat up through that season, whatever that is, waiting or going through an illness or whatever. But you are developing, if you're willing to take it on, a bit of understanding and empathy to be able to bring that to the next person to maybe do it in a service. Because I can't imagine that I would have ever woke up one day and said, I want to work with people with anxiety disorders. But because it was just so much part of our life at that point, I have a deep understanding and empathy for that. And yeah, it's now part of what, you know, I spend a lot of time doing in our work. So you know, it's I don't want to go back and repeat it, but I'm glad I had to go through it.
Right.
No.
Yeah.
Well, and I think, you know, again, like Merle, when you said learning to give it to Him, I think part of my journey is switching my focus to God rather than what I'm desiring and how powerful that's been. Because we can get stuck on what it is we're waiting for and lose sight of what's the most important, which is God.
I have a rule of thumb for things that we're trying to discern because, you know, maybe you're asking for something that isn't God's will, right? And it's hard to know. Merle and I have this spirited discussion all the time about, is it God's will? How do you know, right? And so, you know, you don't know for sure. And so the process for me has been, first, I'm going to pray about it. I'm going to pray, okay, God, this is what I want. This is what I'm waiting for. And so I'm going to lift it up to you and I'm going to take it to you first, okay? Then I'm going to go to wise counsel, people who know the word, people who are aligned in my faith. And I'm going to ask them, I'm going to say, you know, is this aligned with what you think God would want for my life, to move to Wisconsin or to get married or whatever those things are? And you're going to seek biblical counsel. And then I take that the next step and I test, take everything I'm hearing from prayer and hearing from other people, and I go to God's word. Mm-hmm. And I try to test it against God's word. Like, does it go against God's word? If somebody said, I think you, God wants you to divorce Merle and move to Hawaii.
You need to tell me that before the show, please. You just shocked me.
If I think in prayer, God's telling me this, and then, you know, I go to friends and they tell me that, like, I go to God's word to see, is that what God's word says? You know, and then he says to take a step. And maybe that step is in the waiting. Maybe that step is to make a decision and make an action. But if I don't do those steps first, then I flagrantly kind of just go by my flesh, right? Like what I feel or what I want, we can get ourselves into some big trouble.
Yeah.
Instead of that waiting.
You know, so Meredith, you were kind of leaning to this, and hon, you were talking about your processing of it. And that's the, I was in a study the other day, and I love when young men teach me things, which I'm, have plenty to learn. But this was a young man that was teaching me some things that I was like, wow, he is mature beyond his years. And he was expressing the idea of how he was always an achiever, an overachiever, but it was always for his own glorification. Mm-hmm. So that he could say, look what I did. Look what I accomplished. Look how great I am. And now he's in a situation where he realizes no matter how good he is, it may not come out the way he wants it to. And so now he's walking through the process of going, how do I glorify God? How do I brag and boast about God? And so I'm kind of reminded a little bit about this when, you know, jokingly, I used to say, you know, I'll go wherever God wants me to go to serve, except for like Alaska. You know, and I name it because it's got to be something I could be comfortable and glorified in. Versus me saying no. Like, even if I got sent to, you know, Siberia, I would have to find a way to glorify God, which is a whole lot harder to do when you are falling out of your comforts, your instant gratifications. And so, again, like, these are these battles that we have. And I think Western civilization probably struggles with it more than any civilization because we have just gotten what we wanted on so many fronts.
Well, and that reminds me of just my whole wilderness journey, because those years, like, I wanted to pick where I was going. Like, I wanted to be in a warmer environment, you know, North Carolina, Georgia. And then when it finally happened, it was like, hey, it's Wisconsin. And I'm like, are you sure, God? That's not really what I was hoping for.
Which, by the way, that was one of our trivia questions. We've been doing trivia all month for our 5-year anniversary. And so one of the questions was, where did Meredith do her wilderness? So good thing you said Wisconsin after that question already came, because that answer's already been blown. But, you know, I think about that too. Like, I thought my next progression was after teaching in children's ministry was family ministry. And it didn't happen on my timeline. And I got bitter. I got resentful. And I didn't like who I became. And I had someone call me out in that. Same thing, like, you know, it's not what I want, right? It's not about me. And so I had a loving person not tell me what I wanted to hear, but tell me what I need to hear. And like, okay, you're not being very Christ-like in the waiting. You're being a bitter old lady. You're not a bitter, angry lady. And that's not who I wanted to be. And so we got to make sure that even in the waiting, we reflect him. You know, you put a verse down in here, Psalm 37, 4 and 5. Delight yourself also in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. Like, you got to delight yourself in the Lord first. Right? Not just if you get what you want. And that's kind of what we end up doing.
So one of the things that I think we are seeing more is when people don't get what they want, they just give up. They just quit. And so I think one of the things we want to be clear on is we do have to wait, but waiting doesn't mean doing nothing. Like, waiting doesn't mean, okay, well, I'm not going to get this ministry for 2 more years, so I'm going to sit on the couch for 2 years until all of a sudden the door opens up and I get this ministry or this husband or this kid or this job, whatever it is. And so it's that hard part of saying, okay, if I am going to be waiting, then what do I do during the waiting period to help build up who I am and what skills do I need to practice? And, you know, there's something in here that I have to glean from this. So, you know, what do you do in the waiting period? You know?
Got an answer for that, Meredith?
Well, it goes back to turning towards God, because I think we have to ask him what we are supposed to be doing, right? You know, I think the season I'm in, you know, I desire to be married and I desire to have a family, and it's not God's time yet. And he's been showing me, like, he's more focused on his relationship with me and doing the work in me. So, you know, I've been taking those steps of working on myself and, you know, picking up the passions that I have and just spending more time with him. But, you know, something else like that I need accountability for, you know, I have the desire with music and would love someday to worship in jails or prisons. And you know what? I don't know how to play the piano. I don't know how to play the guitar. I got to take those steps to learn, though, right? Like, I've prayed for God to make these things happen. And it's like, hey, like, I'm giving you the opportunity, too, to take action and
Well, and it may not even be you playing the instrument, but God's put a problem on your plate, and he's given you the ability to do problem solving. And so it might be, when you say worship, it might be that you're orchestrating the music that's going to come in, you know.
Gathering people together.
Because there's lots of ways to get certain things done very unconventionally. And I think sometimes we get a certain convention stuck in our mind. If we don't get to do it that way, then we don't see it.
Made me think of when you were talking about, like, what do you do in the waiting? You know, I think of the parable of the talents. You know, are we the person that's been given 10 talents and we get 10 more? Or is it the person who's got 5 talents and 5 more? Or are we the person that takes their one talent and then hides it, you know, because, you know, I'm waiting on God, you know, and he's not showing up and, you know, I he's going to do it for me. And no, God, you know, rebuked that man because he's like, no, I want you to have, I want a return on my investment. So in the waiting, people, we have got to keep glorifying God and keep working for him, not to earn his salvation or his approval or love, but because of what he's done for us. It's out of that. It's the good deeds because of his love for us. You know, out of love and gratitude, we will glorify him. And so we don't want to waste the waiting. Don't waste the waiting, you know. How can we glorify God even when we're not married, when we don't have kids? Your schedule is much more flexible than ours, you know. We're running kids to school and running kids to activities, and you have more flexibility. Okay, God, what do you want me to do with that, right, in this season of waiting?
All right, so as we start to kind of, I'm not sure if you all got anything from this because we're talking about how difficult it is to wait. But I think this is so much about mindset. And so I think it's learning to prepare our mind. And we talk about praying and doing all these things. And, you know, there's lots and lots of studies done about how if somebody is told that they have to do a task for an hour and then all of a sudden the task turns into 2 hours, the second hour is murder on them because they preset their mind. Hey, I thought this was only supposed to take an hour. Versus the other way is, hey, this is a 3-hour task and you get it done in 2 hours and you're feeling like, oh my gosh, this is great. And so it speaks to the power of the mindset that whatever you prepare your mind for, that's going to set you up for either feeling successful or failing. Yeah. And so you have to be really careful. That we, you know, we talk about this with a lot of our college graduates when they get out and they go, I'm going to make $100,000. And
right
their first job, they don't. And it's disappointing versus, well, you know, let's put that out down the road.
That is such a good point, hon, that growth mindset. There is some work on our part and there is this ability to take the time to do it right. You know, we have a lot of millennials and Gen Zs who want to go out and they want that four bedroom, three bath house that their parents have. They want that nice car that their parents worked 30 years to get. They want to make $100,000 instead of the $35,000 right out of college. And so they get impatient. And because of that, you know, they miss out on really the growth that God wants to do in them and through them through this process.
What I do think is God's never short on ways to grow us. And so, you know, we might see them missing it, but I think life has a way of pressing us all in different ways. And so maybe they don't discover it when they're in their 20s, but they discover when they're in their 40s, wow, you know, I had my mind sort of messed up on this. And again, I think this for all of us to be considering.
I think so too, just going back to the worldview and what we see, right? Like we're exposed to the social media and some of it not even being real, right? Like these mansions people live in and just everything that they have at such a young age. And I mean, even for me, you know, a lot of friends and my age, like they're married, kids, like you you measure yourself with everybody else or what the world says. So then that can cause, you know, frustration and like, well, why isn't it happening for me?
I've heard this analogy before of God being in this helicopter and he can see the traffic patterns going on and all these different roads. And you're sitting at the stoplight and you're wondering, why is this taking so long? Why am I not moving? Right. But God sees that there is this flying car coming by and he would just hit you head on if you, and I'm using that relatively speaking, but the point is that he has the bigger picture. He sees the whole dynamic. You just see the stoplight right in front of you and you're impatiently waiting for it to turn green. And so, you know, Romans 8:25 says, if we hope for what we do not have, we wait for it patiently. And so, you know, hope for what we have, that's not hope at all. We don't hope for things we already have. It's what we don't have, and we wait for them patiently, God is saying, and that's when he's going to bless us. So,
Meredith, in all your creativeness, you created an acrostic. Tell us your acrostic for helping us learn to deal with waiting.
Yes. What's the W?
The W stands for wonder. So, you know, questioning, why am I in this season of waiting? And I think, you know, being more specific of like being curious versus complaining. Because I think we can, again, we get frustrated or we can complain and kind of woe is me. Why is my life like this? God doesn't love me.
I would even add another C in that complaining versus curiosity, but also contentment. You know, like, can you be content in this season of waiting? Can you be content with making $35,000 instead of $100,000 or driving that beat up 10-year-old car instead of the brand new one that your parents drive? And so contentment is a huge part of this, why we get so impatient. So, you know, wondering, why am I in this season? But what am I going to do in this season? You know, how about the A?
The A stands for attune. So attuning to God. Being intentional of spending time in prayer and seeking him and his presence and guidance.
I constantly am reminded to do that and do it better, because when I don't, then that's when I turn to complaining. You know, when I stay in tune and God and I stay connected, I'm less likely to whine. Sometimes. I'm not, you're looking at me.
I'm not going to weigh in on this. I'm not going to weigh in. How about the I?
Well, and I do think it's important, you know, going back to like the wondering and attuning, you know, if you feel like you're not hearing from God, or, you know, like you're asking and, and you are spending time with him, but you're not hearing anything, I want to encourage you, God will still give you peace. And, you know, sometimes what he's speaking to us, when we don't hear it, it's like, hey, just like rest in me. Because I've heard that too.
But I will say, and I go back to my steps before, is that when we've prayed about it, sometimes we have such blinders on And we don't even know that there's a barrier mm-hmm. that is keeping us from what we are praying for.
True, yeah.
And so sometimes it has to be that community around us, those wise counsel that say, hey, have you thought about this? Or maybe you need to give up that or try this. And then again, take it to God's word and say, okay, does that align with God's word? Because maybe I haven't even thought about that, mm-hmm. you yeah. know? And so I think that those steps of really seeking God's will and God's guidance is helpful. Then we don't have to just sit there and wallow in the waiting, you know?
Right.
All right, so how about the I?
The I stands for initiate. Mm. So taking action and what God's asking you to do. So just going back to that, not just sitting and...
Doing something.
Doing something. Yeah, what was your dad's old saying? Do something.
Do something, even if it's wrong. Well, because sitting around is... You fall quickly into the victim mode.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So this is all happening to me. Mm-hmm. Versus you making things happen. Yeah. And I think God wants us to use our gifts and our tools. He wants us to be busy in that way.
And we'll make mistakes. And guys, we are. We're going to make mistakes. But that's where God's grace, God's forgiveness, His mercy comes in. You know, if you've aligned yourself with Him and you've been attuned with Him in prayer and you're seeking His guidance and you still make a mistake, okay. But doing nothing... That's right. Like that parable of talent of just hoarding it and doing nothing with it.
Yeah.
How about the T?
And the T stands for trust. So trusting that God knows best and He's protecting and preparing you.
Wow. Yeah. So you're stopped at that stoplight and it seems like it's forever. And you feel like, I'm just going to run the stoplight, right? I'm just going to do it. No one's around and I can't wait any longer. But man... Yes, rest in the Lord and wait patiently for Him. Psalm 37:7. Man, good stuff, good stuff. Any final words, Meredith, about waiting and being made in the waiting? Is there any, what do you mean by made in the waiting? You titled that.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's where God really works on us and where our character and... just who we are, that's where it's made, right? Like
that's that refining process.
Yeah. The pressing, the refining, the hard, what feels like suffering sometimes, but like,
yeah. You know, I did not realize the whole gold refining process until I really studied that in the Bible where, you know, the fire is kind of cranked up underneath that gold and that dross comes to the top and you skim that dross off and it purifies the gold. And so just like you said, that pressing in, that refining fire, like that in the waiting time, that is what's going to purify us. That's what refines us in our relationship with the Lord. And as we've said before, that time of anxiety, that time of waiting and work and time of moving and building, it all refined us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it made us who we are.
Yeah, you use the term, Meredith, suffering. Mm. And, you know, there are a lot of people that actually push the concept of God away because they'll make the statement that a true loving God would not even create or allow for something called suffering. And I believe, again, I'm not excusing suffering like, well, we should all do it. But suffering is one of those great purification processes if we allow it to be, you know, if we allow that. And so sometimes when you're going through that battle and you feel like, why me? There's some purification opportunities there if you are willing to rest in the hands of God and just try to be obedient and hang in there.
Yeah. So we hope this show has been encouraging to you. You're not the only one in the waiting. You know, we all have had seasons of waiting and waiting for the Lord to move or to show us or to guide us. And so what do we do in the waiting? That's what we were really talking about today. So be faithful, attune to Him, you know, align yourself with God's word and surround yourself with God's people. And don't just sit there idle. Take action. Keep moving forward and growing and refining and allowing letting God do what he does best. So, you know, we thank you guys so much for listening to the show. Any final comments?
Well, Meredith, I just want to thank you for bringing up the topic. Because, you know, we were just talking about, man, sometimes it's just so hard to wait, and how so many of the people that come into us are in a, that something's not working out for them the way they want it to. So they're in some level of waiting. And so, you know, it just makes for good conversation. So we do hope that this is helpful. Guys, if there's any way that we can help you because maybe things aren't seeming to go your way or the way you think they should be going, you know, reach out to us. That's part of what the whole coaching process is, to help prepare you with the action, the doing. Well, what are you doing during this period? And so if we can help with that process of guiding, we definitely would like to do that. You can check out our webpage at rocksolidfamilies.org, or you can give us a call at 812-576-7625. Do you ladies have anything else, or are you done waiting for this to end?
No, we want to thank you guys, and hopefully this has been helpful. Again, reach out to us if we can help. In the meantime, thanks for listening to the Rock Solid Families podcast, building a stronger community, one family at a time. Make it a great day.
Rock Solid Families wants to thank Casey's Outdoor Solutions for sponsoring the Rock Solid Families podcast. Casey's has grown to be one of the largest and most unique garden centers and gift shops in the Cincinnati tri-state area. Whether you are looking to take on that next landscape project or simply add a little home decor to your house, Casey's has you covered. Located at 21481 State Line Road, Lawrenceburg, Indiana. Call them today at 812-537-3800. Let Casey's help you add beauty to your home.